32 minutes now past 10 o'clock. It's about time we started our conversation with Al Bear, and we'll get around to the talking part. But first, let's hear some of his work.
Thank you.
Albert ITD from Long Way. That's the first track from that recording. The name of it is Cut to the Chase. Well, what the heck, let's go ahead and cut to the chase. Albert is here in the igloo with me tonight. Greetings and welcome to the igloo, Albert.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
We appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. Please, tell us about the tune we just heard. About the selection, about the song Cut to the Chase.
Oh, but this song, it's an interesting one because we just had met in the studio for the first time, all the musicians in this band, and prior of recording this song, we really didn't know whether it was going to work, and so that was a bit of a revelation, so we cut to the chase. And, you know, we distributed the music, and we rehearsed a couple of times, not even the full song, and then the engineer decided to push the button, and this came out.
And this was done in Brooklyn last January, right?
That's right.
How were these musicians gathered? I guess I should ask you to tell us, first of all, who are these guys in ITD?
Okay, so ITD is an international travel diary, as opposed to the travel diary band with whom I've been touring for a while in Australia. So we added the I for international. When I met Matthias Winkelmann, my producer and the head of the Enya label from Germany, with whom I'm with at the moment, we decided to do this project. And he said to me that he would like to have some American players, some international players, he put it, in the recording. And I said that I felt quite disloyal to my band should I have been doing this. And then he said, you know, I would like to get guys like Antonio Sanchez on the drums. I said, yeah, I can do that. So there's the only guy that we kept from my travel diary band is Ivripidis Ivripidou, who's the bass player. And as Greek as he sounds, he's also Australian, and he actually is from Cyprus, and he lives in Melbourne. We've been playing together for about 20 years on and off. And so it's with Every that I did all the compositions. And we came prepared to New York in last January. We had not met Leo Genovese. We hadn't met Antonio Sanchez. I knew George Gazon, and I didn't know, although I never played with him, and I did not know Henrik Merkens, the harmonica player. So that was our first encounter was truly at the studio, and it was that very cold winter morning where we sat, and an hour later we had this song, this first track, and I was a bit relieved because we knew we had something.
Yeah, I was going to ask, and if it hadn't worked, then what would you have done?
Oh, I would have gone home. Go back to my
simple.
Old band.
I was going to ask also, how did the guys in the old band, are they still speaking to you?
Yeah, actually, they're here with me because the reality of the situation is, you know, you're really a band only if you can tour together and so on. And so that was a bit of the dream of Matthias was to have those great musicians in the album. And sure enough, I said to him that I would agree to have those guys if they agreed to tour with me. And they all said, yes, we will tour. And so we did the first tour in June this year in Australia. They all came. We had a series of concerts. It was great. There was no problem. But that was it, because after that, for July, they were all busy. Antonio with Pat Metheny, Leo with Esperanza Spalding, etc. And so the reality is that to have an act and to be sustainable, you need to have musicians that are fully committed to that act. And so I went back to Phil Turcio, who's the great piano player, has been playing with me for about 20 years also, and he's here with me on tour. We're playing, as you know, and Van Dyck tomorrow and the next day. On the bass, I've got probably Austria's arguably the best acoustic bass player. That's Phil Rex. And on the drums, Antonio Sanchez was kind enough to find his alter ego and to recommend his alter ego, and that's never easy for someone to do that. And he recommended Pablo Bencid, and Pablo came to Australia last September, and we did a week of playing together. Then we just played in Japan, in Seoul, in Korea. We're just finishing a tour on the East Coast of the United States. He's fabulous. He he fits with us as a glove. And so I decided with this current ensemble, we're going to do our next recording.
And you're set to go back into the studio soon, right?
Yeah, in January we'll see another recording. And when is that going to be released? I do not know. But I think it's important that, when you present records to artistic directors, and I know something about it because I used to be an artistic director myself, is that you tend to want to have on the stage what you hear on the record. And I am unable to deliver what's on the record on the stage. And that's there is a divide here. Yet what I've got on the stage in many respects is very more organic than you see, that you can hear on the record. And if you come tomorrow, the next day at Van Dyck, you will hopefully discover that for yourself.
My guest tonight is Al Baer, the Australian guitarist, composer, producer, musical activist. Would that be a fair way to describe you? We'll talk a little bit about those endeavors shortly. Al Baer and his band will be performing at the Van Dyck, the club on Lincoln Road. That's at 846 Lincoln Road. Al Baer will be appearing there tomorrow night and Friday night. Let's back up. Let's go back to the beginning, Al Baer, and I'll ask you to tell my friends in Radioland a little bit about yourself. You were born in Morocco, and can you tell us a little bit, I started to say, about what happened then? Well, yeah, what happened then? Tell us about your first instrument, please.
What happened then, if you really want to go back in the beginning, I came out of my mom's womb. And
always a good start.
It was a good start, and it was a sign of relief for everyone, apparently. So my parents decided to go from Morocco to Israel when I was five. And as I arrived in Israel, the first encounter with someone playing an instrument was my cousin Yossi. He was playing the accordion. And he was this big guy, and I thought, I want to be like my cousin Yossi. So I wanted to play the accordion. And I never got to it. And my mom, for my eighth birthday, went to get me an accordion. We were living in Dimona. She went to Be'er Sheva to find an accordion, and she came back with a guitar. And I remember when I questioned her about the accordion, she said, well, that's an accordion. And I said, no, mom, it's not an accordion. Come on. That's how it was.
But I think it also, according to my research, took you a few minutes to warm up to the guitar once you got it.
Yes, you play with whatever you've got when you're at that age. And, at that time there was no internet, there was no TV even. We didn't have a TV. When I was 8 years old, there was no TV. And you play with what you've got.
So what was it that finally turned you on, as it were, to the guitar?
So that was much later that I started understanding that it was cool to have a guitar. That was when we moved to France, when I was 10 years old. And, I started playing with guys down the stairs, in the streets. I started playing. I had my guitar with me practically all the time. We were going to school and playing during the breaks, and the instrument was with me as a constant. And in France, of course, I discovered the sound of many of the greats, Django, but also Jimi Hendrix. At the time, we were very fortunate as kids. We were growing while all this incredible music was happening in rock and in jazz. It was a fantastic era to grow up. I mean, they're forming today the classics. We didn't realize that was happening at the time. My passion for music has always been there. I don't know how to explain it, because it's, I'm not the only one. It's a part of being a human being, I think. Every human being has this passion. And some of us, I think all of us have this when we are kids, and some of us are fortunate to carry it to adulthood. And it's just because maybe we are persistent. I really don't know how to explain. I have three kids, and only one out of the three has decided to continue with the instrument. The other two decided to abandon it at an early age. So I cannot explain.
Your career has taken a number of twists and turns. Was there ever a time when you put music aside completely to do some of the other things that you've been involved with?
No, the music has always been there. I mean, first of all, it's a way for me to escape a bit about my everyday reality as well. And whenever the music, in the 90s, it became a business for me, and I kind of hated it. And that's one of the reasons I went from the music business into the festivals business. It was a little bit to escape. I wanted the music to become romantic again for me in my psyche somehow. I didn't want it to be a harsh reality. I think I'm fortunate like this because I wear several hats and I can afford to have to do the music that I like to do, and I don't have to be a sideman for anyone.
Nice work when you can get it. I'm going to ask you a little bit about the music on Long Way, but first, since we brought it up, I'll ask you to tell my friends a little bit about the many hats that you wear, as many of them as you choose to discuss.
Well, you know,
this guy's got a lot of hats, y'all.
My hats, I'm a passionate guy, and I like. I've got certain passions I basically translate into actions, and so I give you an example. I used to be involved in Israel advocacy in Australia. And I decided that what was really missing between Australia and Israel was not another political voice or another explanation about why this or why that was happening in Israel. What I decided was missing, and my decision was for sure based on observations, is a cultural exchange program. And so the first action that I took was to take to Israel an Aboriginal art collection, because, you know, Australia has this great contemporary art movement of indigenous art. And it's absolutely fascinating. And I'm a collector. I've been a collector for nearly two decades. And I'm passionate about Aboriginal art. I'm passionate about Israel. And here I decided to create this project. And at the time, it was the second Intifada going on in Israel. And you had bombs going around every corner. And fortunately at the time, 2001, 2002, if people recall, there were suicide bombers going everywhere. And basically life was a bit paralyzed over there. And in the middle of all that, I brought a collection of indigenous art, and not surprisingly at all, 200,000 Israelis visited the collection in about the space of 3 months. They were that thirsty for culture at the time. And so that was a good introduction for my cultural exchange program, starting from Australia to Israel rather than the other way around. And this has grown, and we developed film festivals. We've got an Israeli film festival going throughout Australia. We've got an Australian film festival going throughout Israel every year. That's been going on for 10 years on each side. Things like that, you see, that I like to see to become concrete. I do many other things, but I think I'm going to bore you and your listeners.
We'll stop right there then and talk a little bit more about the music. Let's go forward with another track now from Long Way. That's the latest recording from Al Bear, my guest here in the Igloo tonight. He will be performing at the Van Dyke, 846 Lincoln Road, tomorrow night and Friday night. Eagle's Way. Al Bear, please tell us about this tune.
Well, it's actually the first tune that I composed for this project. And, you know, I turned to my childhood and I asked myself the question, what was so special during my childhood? What was an inspiration? And I remembered immediately the first thing that came to my mind was The Conquest to the Moon. And it was something that was going on for months and perhaps years. I don't quite remember whether it was years, but certainly for at least a year.
It was years.
And in 1969, finally, the first man walked on the moon. And so I wanted to convey this feeling of being part of this great human adventure. I'm certain if I was an adult at the time, I would think of the Vietnam War going as well. And because as adults, you see, we also think about the things that can bring us down. But at the time, I was only thinking about what was uplifting. And so this, I thought, was a track that I wanted to do a tribute to the spirit of human adventure. And hopefully it carries that.
Eagle's Way from Albert ITD. The album is called Long Way.
Thank you.
Eagle's Way. That's a tune by my guest. Al Baer is here in the igloo with me tonight on WLRN's Evening Jazz. Eagle's Way is one of the tunes from his recording Long Way. Al Baer, one thing that struck me as I listened to this recording was I particularly enjoyed your work with Hendrik Merkens on the harmonica. It seems that, or it seems to this listener, shall we say, that there's something special in your communication with Hendrik.
Yes, it's true. I mean, we've got a very similar sense of melody. And that was one of the reasons I agreed to work with him. By the way, for this track, you can go on YouTube. I've given this track to a cinematographer in Australia, and I explained to him the story. And he did some interesting work. He made us all go to the moon. And you go to the moon in 8 minutes. So if you go to my channel, can I give you my
Absolutely.
Channel? So go to ALBARE Jazz. That's on YouTube. So you go to youtube.com, of course, and then / and ALBARE Jazz. And the tune we just heard, that's Eagle's Way.
I will put that up on my Facebook page. So
Thank
if
you.
There's somebody driving and they can't write that down right now, not a problem. We got you covered. Also on the Real Tracy Fields Facebook page, you'll find information in general about Al Baer and Al Baer ITD. Al Baer will be performing at the Van Dyke, 846 Lincoln Road, tomorrow night and Friday night. I think, let's see, when we left off on your globetrotting life, you had, I think I left you in Israel, Al Baer, as a youngster, as I'm trying to put a chronology of your life together, but you were also telling us about your efforts to create cultural links between Israel and Australia, and I was wondering how you happened to settle in Australia. You've lived in a great many places. Why did you make Australia home?
That's because of my wife. She's Australian, and I met her in Paris. And we got married, and we lived for 4 years in Paris. And at some stage, she wanted to go to Australia, and I traveled there many times, and I decided to go. So and I never looked back, really.
That would do it. There's nothing quite like finding a spouse who wants to go home.
Absolutely.
So you've been very active in the music scene in Australia. Well, tell us about that. I know that you do some education work and you've been involved with the Melbourne Jazz Festival and also with establishing jazz awards. Can you tell us about getting musically active in Australia?
In 1 minute?
You may take several minutes.
No, that's okay. So, first of all, in the early 2000, I was called to the rescue of the Melbourne International Jazz Festival, and virtually it was dying. It had been going for a couple of years, and it lacked funding and management, and it didn't have many great audiences. And I'm one of the rare guys, I guess, that can wear a business hat as well as a musical hat. And so I was called to see if I was interested, and I was. And so I took that challenge on. And that's when I put my career on hold as a musician, because I thought, you know, you would inevitably find conflict if you promote yourself or you're doing something like that for others. So I really dedicated myself for 8 years to that festival. By the time I left the festival, so to give you an idea of the measurement, we started with about 5,000 people coming to the festival a year, and the festival was going for about 10 days. And when I left the festival in 2008, we had about 120,000 people coming to the festival. And it was it grown from something like a $50,000 festival to about $3 million budget. So so that made its mark in Melbourne, and today it's even bigger than when I left it. So I'm very happy to see that the legacy is actually working. And very earlier in the piece, in 2003, we've identified that Australia had no award recognition system for jazz. We only had one jazz award that was among many other awards, with the Area Award, which are the industry awards. And so we decided to create our own event. And that's been going on for 10 years now. We've got about seven or eight categories. If your listeners want to go and have a look at all the winners, that gives you a good idea about what's going on in the Australian jazz scene. So you go to bellawards.org. And Bell is for Graham Bell. Graham Bell was one of the greatest jazz pianists of Australia, a true pioneer. He died this year. He passed away this year at age 98. And he was a contemporary of Louis Armstrong. And he came to the United States in those days, and he toured here and he toured Europe. And he was an absolutely great guy. And in 2003, when I asked him to become the patron, he said, "Where do I sign?" And he had a fantastic sense of humor. So here we are. I think I told you everything inside 1 minute.
Nice. The headline version of it. Okay, here's your next 1 minute question. Please tell us a little bit about... Oh, don't frown at me that way. Please tell us about the jazz scene in Australia for folks who might be driving and unable to go to bellawards.org right at this minute. How would you describe it? How is our music doing in your home?
Well, your music is alive and well in Australia.
It's your music, too. I didn't mean to cut anybody out of that.
No. You're absolutely right. We know what our place in the world is. Don't worry. And we give every recognition to Americans, because that's where, you know, jazz is fabulous because it's the music of the free world. You have to remember this. You know, in 2007, I found a piano player from Korea, from North Korea, that was thrown in jail because he was playing jazz in North Korea. And he defected in South Korea. I found him, brought him to Australia, opened a festival with him. I discovered he was playing classical. But he thought it was jazz, and that was beautiful. And so the symbol of jazz is the music of the free world. That is something that you mustn't forget, and I hope that the Americans don't forget, because, you know, if the Americans don't look after jazz, what chance does the rest of the world have?
We do the best we can, and we're most grateful for the support of our brethren and sistern around the world.
So in Australia, the scene is thriving, and I'm very happy to be the chairman of a school of music at Monash University. And we're doing a fundraising at present to build a great building. We've taken an architect who lives in Boston. His name is Moshe Safdi, and he's done a fantastic design for us. And we're raising about $80 million to do this building. We're a third of the way there. We're going to start building next year. And the School of Music, just through this project, went this year from having 200 students to 500. In the jazz course. So, I'm very happy with the way things are going there.
In this country, it used to be more common that young jazz musicians got a great deal of their education on the stand, learning on the job, as it were. Is that still the prevalent way of becoming a journeyman or even more advanced jazz musician in Australia, or has it become more academic there as well?
It all depends. You've got a real scene in Australia. So, you know, one of the things that has happened in the last few years is that our dollar got stronger. And that means that we are able to afford American musicians. And so you've got more and more American musicians touring in Australia. And that's a great education for our kids over there, and in fact, not just for the kids, for everybody. So it has become quite accessible. And as you probably know, I mean, some of your great stars got discovered in France and elsewhere before they got discovered here in the United States. So to me, jazz is anything but academic.
12 minutes now past 11, and... Before I forget and upset the feds even further, I have to say that this is 91.3 WLRN and HD1 Miami, Fort Lauderdale, the Palm Beaches, 91.5 WKWM and HD1 Marathon, Key West. My guest tonight is Al Baer. He comes to us from Australia. We'll be performing at the Van Dyke, 846 Lincoln Road, tomorrow night and Friday night. The Van Dyke, of course, Lincoln Road on Miami Beach. Albert is touring in support of his recording Long Way, and we've got the title track from that album right now. Albert, please tell us about Long Way.
So it's an interesting track because up until about halfway through the track, it was going according to plan. And then I don't know what happened. We will never know what happened, but we suddenly went to a different direction. And we didn't know exactly where we were going, but we all wanted to get there. And therefore the track is about double the length of what we planned it to be, but it doesn't matter. It's got some energy that is nice.
Sounds like jazz to me.
Thank you.
Long Way, the title track from the latest recording by my guest Al Bear, is here in the Igloo tonight. And you started there and you ended up over here. Always exciting.
Yes, and it was lucky we ended.
One of those songs that could have gone on for months and months and months.
It could have.
Al Bear will be performing at the Van Dyke, 846 Lincoln Road. That's happening tomorrow night and Friday night on Miami Beach. So if you want to come down and check him out, there's a couple of shows, I believe, and we'll be hearing songs from Long Way, including that one. Do you have any idea where it might end up next time you play it?
Yes, well, you know, we try to, I mean, not we don't try, actually. We reinvent the songs every time we play them. And because this is a different ensemble, so it's a different sound, especially the fact that we've got an acoustic bass player and not an electrical bass player. The dynamics are a little bit different, but it's exciting.
And your first time performing in South Florida.
Indeed. That's my first time playing in the United States.
Oh, wow. Well, welcome.
I've got the impression I'm selling calls to Newcastle. Because you guys need the music like we need calls in Newcastle, exactly. Mm. But it's a pleasure for me. I mean, I'm so surprised going from place to place and finding people that like my music, and that it's a great feeling.
Well, the world some days is only as big as a dime, I think. And I meant what I said earlier about our music. I was certainly including you. One of the things that I dig about our music, about this jazz, is that it belongs to everybody and can be brought from anywhere into this country. I like the way that it grows and develops as it spreads around the world.
Yes, and you know, as a musician, when we play, we play from our heart space. And so everyone has a different voice because everyone has a different heart. And for me, and this band, when we communicate with to the public with the music, we hope that we convey music from our heart. So this is really the message.
That's the whole point.
Absolutely.
Have you found U.S. audiences to be distinctly different from others?
Not really. I thought they would be, but they're actually not.
Let me guess. You expected us all to have three eyes and little pointy heads.
Not at all. No, not at all. But I thought that the U.S. audiences would be a little more criticizing on us or harsher on us, but not at all. They really get it quicker, actually, if anything. So we can communicate a lot faster because probably you're used to this music more than some other countries. But, you know, having said that, I just played in Seoul and I did not know how it would go over there in Seoul, in Korea. And it was such a surprise to see them loving this music and, you know, demonstrating it in a very affectionate way. So somehow I'm starting to believe that the little I on the ITD really is standing for international after all.
No two ways about that, given this ensemble. Once again, I'll run over the personnel on the recording Long Way. No, actually, I'm going to let you do it, Al Bear, because you'll get these guys' names right. I could try to pronounce them, but they sound so much better coming from you.
You mean the album or the guys on stage?
On the album, please. And then we'll talk about the band that will be performing at the Van Dyke.
Okay, so in the album, you've got Antonio Sanchez on the drums, Leo Genovese on the piano, Henrik Merkens in the harmonica, George Gazon on the saxophone, and of course Evripidis Evripidou on the bass.
I just enjoyed saying his name while I was preparing for this interview. That was fun. Who's going to be with you at the Van Dyke this week?
So at the Van Dyke on the bass, we've got Phil Rex on the acoustic bass, and on the piano, you've got Phil Turcio. Actually, I'm sure you never heard the name Phil Turcio, but you know the guy. I tell you why I know you know the guy. Because if you recall the closing ceremony of the Sydney Olympics, there was this little girl that was singing a song. And that is if you're old enough to remember. It was 2000. It's, you know, time goes by. And that song was written by Phil Turcio. Uh-huh. So here you go. And Pablo Bencid, who's from Venezuela, but he lives in New York, and he's one of your great drummers here.
So, a fabulous time coming up at the Van Dyke on two separate nights, Thursday and Friday. Al Baer will be performing there with the esteemed musicians that he just mentioned. The Van Dyke is at 846 Lincoln Road on Miami Beach. I think you got two shows each night, 9 and 10:30, something like that. At any rate, information about that is available on my Facebook page and probably on your Facebook page as well, Al Baer, right?
I certainly hope so.
Please tell the people where they can catch up with you on the web.
On the web, you've got several ways to do this. You can go to my Facebook page, look for ALBARE, and you will find me. ALBARE Music, because on Facebook you need to have a surname, otherwise they don't take you. So I put music as my surname, and the country I put the World of Jazz.
That works.
And insofar as my website is albare.info.
That's pretty straightforward. Al Baer, the musical half-aspect manifestation of Albert Dadon, thank you so much for dropping by the Igloo and spending time with us tonight.
It's an absolute pleasure.